Well, okay, friends. This is little Jack, by the way. He's a part of it all. this morning, what we want to do is we're keeping the service a little bit short. It is the holiday break, and we are missing quite a number with the three things. The rugby, I don't even know the result. Yeah. Are we allowed to broadcast this one? What is it, Si? Is that true? That is huge. Honestly.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
So, okay. Let's move on.
Ruby and I just felt to just share a story this morning. So we're not giving a talk. This is not a teaching session, even though they're very valuable. This is just sharing of hearts. It's just a sharing of a story. And then we'll do communion together and then finish our service. I actually have to race to the airport, which, as you know, is sort of part of my way of doing life afterwards. So if you don't see me floating around, you know why. Yes, we felt to share the story of our guidance. And making the sad decision that we have made to move on. But a good decision and a right decision. And as I really appreciated what Catherine said, that's just not for us. It's a good and right decision for everybody. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say a little bit and then hand it over to Ruby, and she'll say a lot. And then it comes back to me for a few sentences, then it goes back to her for a few paragraphs and so on. I guess for me it all started about a year ago in terms of our guidance story, where I had a dream one night. Now, I've shared about dreams and I've shared about voices and I've shared about whispers and nudges and impressions. I do honestly believe that there is a God who loves to communicate. I do honestly believe that there's a God who loves to reach out to us. I do honestly believe that this God is very near to each one of us. Absolutely. And so sometimes he reaches out to us in dreams. Now, I am the first to admit, as you've heard me say before, that some dreams have more to say about the cheesecake the night before than it does about a God-given dream. But some dreams are definitely God-given. How many here have had what you believe to be a God-given dream? Show of hands, yeah. So, I mean, they come unexpectedly, and there is a vividness to them. And there is a distinct impression that one has through them. And so I had this dream about a year ago, and believe it or not, the distinct impression from this dream was this: Mick, the next place that you go to, you are to put your roots down and settle. This will be the last shift you will ever make. Now, you know what I'm like. I am by nature a nomad. I mean, I've had 4 decades as in my adult life of being unashamedly, unapologetically nomadic. In other words, go wherever, whoever, whatever. That has been my modus operandi. And so in a dream, to be told that your next place will be a place where you settle and put your roots down, that was a big surprise. But then you think, well, I don't really know what to do with that. I honestly didn't know what to do with it. So you know what you do? You just put it to the side and you ponder on it. But it kind of got the story beginning And I didn't know how it would end, but that was the beginning for me. Yeah.
So that's a pretty powerful thought for us, that idea of roots. And when, I don't know how, I think I didn't wake up the next morning and say, whoa, I've had this dream, we're allowed to put our roots down, you know. I think somehow he sort of said, oh, you know, sometime he mentioned this thought. And it was like, whoa, really? Honestly? I mean, for us, that's just such a mind-boggling idea. And for me, when we first started our marriage, I felt the Lord whispered to me that not to kind of hold the idea of having a home of my own or a place of my own. He gave me that concept that we would be gypsies, we would be wanderers. And so it had always been the way of whatever, wherever. And I remember particularly when we finally landed where we lived before, Manurewa, was in Mangere Bridge. And that was a bit of a treat to live in Mangere Bridge. And after we'd been there a year or two, I really liked it there. I mean, we'd gone everywhere for reasons, mission, whatever. And this was a place I enjoyed more than any other. And one day I remember saying, I'm not shifting from here. And it was like, I knew that that rose up to the heavens and it didn't belong. And I think Bick even raised his eyes to heavens and said, he heard that. And I knew in my heart I did not have the freedom before him to say, I'm not shifting again. He was still asking me to be loose and free, to go whatever, wherever. So this idea of putting our roots down was a bit of a whoa.
So that people know, so under after Mangere Bridge, of course, we came here, and that was another shift. And it was a hard shift. After 4 decades of this, you do get tired of it. Because, I mean, we were having a staff meeting the other day, and we were just sort of, we just had this, we have coffee and donuts every Friday morning, which is really the highlight of the week. And but we were just, it just so happened that, you know, Dave and Emma and Joan and Tony, of course, have bought this, you know, palace, this new house. So we call Dave, by the way, now Lord Dyack. But the number of people who shared that they'd been in this one place for most of their lives, I mean, I'm just staggered by that. But of course, that's a calling in itself. Just as some of us are called to be gypsies and nomadic, others are called to settle and to stay. But we made that other shift to come here, and that was about just over 5 years ago. But then I had that dream about a year ago. So what happened next in terms of our guidance story was it was mid-July this year, and we'd just had a great service. By the way, we have some of the best services in the country. I mean, we have a lovely culture here, a great spirit, a brilliant teacher, fantastic worship leaders, musos, you know. Anyway, I think they're some of the best services in the country. Yeah, thank you, yeah. But it was mid-July, Sunday morning had just finished, went home, and it's my usual practice to have a cup of coffee, you know, just after lunch. And I was just seated in our room. We just have the one room in our house, but I was just seated there having a coffee. And I was just staring out the window, just not thinking about anything. And then a verse popped into my head. So again, it's something that happened most unexpectedly. And what was shared in that verse was most unexpected. And I've shared it before. That's a criteria for deciding whether something is from the Lord. If it comes unexpectedly and what is said is unexpected. Because sometimes we get stuff that is so in sync with our desires that really it could be us just trying to persuade ourselves. You know, we can easily fool ourselves. Is that right? But when you get something happening unexpectedly and what is said is unexpected, So this verse dropped into my head and I thought, I wonder what that is. So you've got to be relentlessly responsive with this sort of stuff. You know, as soon as you get a nudge, an impression or something, you've got to be really responsive. And when God sees a responsive heart, he gives you more. That's just the way it works. And so I kind of pulled out my cell phone and I looked up this verse and I thought, goodness me, what the heck is that? You know? And so then I thought, well, I better go and look at a hard copy Bible. So I went to pick up a hard copy Bible, and the Bible, I tell you, not a lie, it just absolutely opened up at the very page where this verse was. And, you know, you could, I have only a very small number of little hairs at the back of my head. And at that point, they tingled. And basically, the verse said this: it is time for your ship to leave this harbor and for you to go to another land. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I thought, what do I do? And I thought, well, I won't say anything to Ruby. She was out. She was, I think, at Joe's place or something. And I won't say anything to Ruby. And I'll see what the first thing is that Ruby says as she comes through the door. You know, just what might she say? I won't say a thing. And so Ruby came home that afternoon. I didn't say anything. And she just came in. And basically the first kind of thing was, look, I just feel as though we need to go to our own place. Which was so in sync with that verse that I received. So that was the guidance in July.
And I think for me, some of this guidance, the pictures, the verses have been over the last 18 months or so, because I've had this journey where I was, as most of you know, the CEO at IOSIS around the corner. I'd been in that role for many, many years. I'd been with that organisation for 17 years. And the journey started for me when I had a real sense that maybe that season was coming to an end, and there was a real stirring in me around that. And I went to one of the staff. We had this staff member, and she had a real gift of prophecy, and she was known for this. And so I went to her and I said, I need a word from the Lord. And she said, oh, sure, I'll just finish the accounts and I'll pop into your office. And she was like that. She's just delightful. And so she popped into the office and she said, straight away, she said, oh, I just see that the Lord has two buildings. You've been working on this one building and you're now on a bridge and there's another building ahead of you and it's going to be great. And, you know, God's got good things. It was just like straight like that. So it was a real confirmation of that sense that I was moving from one thing to another. Just didn't know what the to another was. But ultimately, I left IOSIS just a year ago, last September, and that was very right and very good. But I wasn't exactly sure how God was going to lead me on from there. We'd moved into the hut, and that had also been a real sense of God's leading. So there'd been this other picture as part of that process, and it had been, I'd been reading this book called Orbiting the Giant Hairball. Now, it's a great book. I recommend it. It's really tiny, but the concept is about creativity, which is like most of us live in hairballs, and, you know, we've got to kind of get out of that a little bit and drift around the edges and kind of get creative. And within this book, there was this beautiful picture of saying, look, God has given us a canvas, a blank canvas, and each one of us has got to paint our own picture. And so in my journal, I'd drawn this little picture of a little stick person at a canvas, you know, painting away. And this had really captured me, this idea that God was saying, go and paint your own picture. With all that I've given you, with the gifts and the passions I've given you, paint your own picture. And so we'd been praying about what was next and about some ideas, and Mick started praying, oh Lord, we just want to paint our own picture, you know, big brush strokes of bright colours. And it was just such a confirmation of that sense that God was leading me into a phase of painting our own picture. And it was a phase of creativity, it was a phase of coming out of my own heart, of the things that God had placed there. So those are the kind of pictures. I think there was another one. Oh, another really cute one, you'll like this. The same woman who'd given me the one about the buildings, there was another time she said, oh, God's just given me a picture for you. And he's just like got you and Mick on his knee, just like little children. He's tickling you and tickling you. And you're just laughing and laughing. It was just such a beautiful picture that God had some new things ahead, some things that were going to make us laugh, and some things that were really going to bring us joy. So, you know, there's been another few of those kind of things, but it's just been quite a season of sensing that God is taking us step by step into new things, into fun things, into exciting things.
So what happened next was, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you do get all of this stuff, you know, you some half of one thinks, is this real? Is this, you know, do you know, it's just, you know, because it could be the cheesecake, or it could be you're talking yourself into something. It could be, you know, we can so easily fool ourselves. I mean, let's be honest. So I thought, well, we've still got to hold all of this very loosely and lightly. So I thought, we'll embark on a discernment process. And I'll keep elders absolutely up with the discernment process, you know. So you make a decision with a group of people. You don't just make a decision and give it to them. And so we entered into this discernment process. And over the years, I've learned that when you do discernment, you know when you're facing two options? So we parked all the so-called guidance on the side. Because, you know, as I said, you can so easily fool yourself. We parked it on the side, and then we thought, all right, let's do discernment. So that on one side, you could think, okay, we'll stay, and we'll commit ourselves, or be open to commit ourselves for another 5 years here. Okay, that's here. And then the other thing was, we'll leave, and we'll leave at the end of the year. So we had two options there in our discernment process. And the way I've learnt to do this sort of thing is that you choose one of the options for, and you sit with it as though you've made the decision about it, and this is it, and you sit with it for about 3 weeks. And you just wait to see what the feeling, what feelings, what thoughts, what nudges, what ideas, you know, what thoughts come to the surface. Okay? And then once you've done that for 3 weeks, then you sit with the other one. And you sit with that one as though this is the one. And then you, over a three-week period again, you wait to see what comes to the surface, what comes to light, what kind of feelings, what kind of nudges, and so on. And so really over probably about a six-week period, that's exactly what we did. And I think, you know, when it came to the sad decision to move on, when we sat with that one, there just was a sense of, this is right, this is clear, this is good. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought, it has been such a privilege to be with you guys for about 5 years. I mean, I'll never forget this 5 years. And, you know, every time I see a face here, you go, oh, I like that person. And then you see another face, oh, and I like them too. Oh, there's another one. And, you know, you just see all of these faces and you just think, I just like that person. And, you know, to be able to come into a church that when we did come, it was struggling. And I think we all knew that because it had been through troubled times. But to have a part in reviving and strengthening a church over a five-year period, you know, you can't beat that. That's one of the best things that you can do with a life. And so I'm really appreciative of that. And but I am really relaxed, guys, about the decision we've made. Now, of course, I've been through all the emotions way before you have. So, of course, you'll be going through your emotions, the very emotions that we were going through some weeks ago. But it was probably on Thursday this week that a sense of lightness, because I'd been carrying this heaviness for quite some time about all of this, but on Thursday a sense of lightness entered my soul. And I just know this is right. Yeah. And it's not running away, you know. I mean, the word has got round the country. We live in a very small land. Ever since this has become known, I've had four offers come screaming in. So, I mean, it's just a small place. It is offer from Sydney in Australia and three here in New Zealand, all leadership positions. So my ego is feeling really nicely massaged right now. But we will probably not go towards any of them. And so there is a sense in which we don't know what we're really going to, but we have the beginnings of some ideas. There's a part of me that would love to go into a neighbourhood from an unchurched basis and just start something from scratch. Give that a go. I don't think I'm any good at it, but I'd love to give it a go. Yeah, so there's a sense of lightness and rightness and goodness about this. And my prayer is that you guys will come into that too, in time. I appreciate that we all have to go through our grieving process, yeah.
So Mick has reminded me a few times this week that I haven't had any offers in the last year. So, you know, that's the way it goes. I think too, for me, all of those words of kind of, you know, creativity and playfulness, I mean, I genuinely began this year believing that was for here. And I was excited about dreams and ideas I had for here and what I thought God was going to do, you know, with us here. And so it was only that July, as Mick had that word, that it was sort of like, oh, wow, you know, there was that growing sense that maybe it's not here. The thing I just wanted to mention is the couple process, because people do ask us, you know, well, how do you do this thing as a couple? And we've done it for many years now, and so we've kind of learned a few things about the couple process. And this has been a good one. This has been our best one, I think. I think I've felt like we've really done this together, and we've learned, I think, a lot about what works. And just two things I want to say. One is about that over the years, what Mick and I have sensed is that there are seasons. And the seasons are sometimes where life gets shaped a little more around one person's calling than another. And that's not wrong. That can be very right. And sensing that season is part of the discernment together. That there may be a sense in which one is stepping forward and you have a sense together that you're going to decide things about place or the other person's choices around that. Because there's such a sense of God's calling on that time. And for me, I'd been in the Sciosis role, and I think Mick had spent a number of years, you know, really respecting and acknowledging that as a calling for me and shaping some things around that, much as he's always going to wander, and that's helpful wherever I am. But this time, this season, was really about us. It was a season in which we had a real sense that what we're going to do next is an us thing. We're going to and we want to do something together. So we very much approached this season in that way. And I think the other thing about this was that as a couple, it's not about negotiating your personal preferences. Because I think so often couples do that. Well, I would like this and I would like that. It's not about that. What it is about the wonderful sort of dance of both discerning the spirit together. And so as you sit with this possibility, and we would walk away in one sense from each other for a little bit to sense what the spirit was saying, and then as you come back together, it's like, well, what did you hear? What did you sense? And that is a wonderful kind of security in a way, that you've got someone else you're discerning with that checks out. Because we are children in these things. You know, discerning the voice and mind of God is a hard thing. And we so love what's concrete, and what we're discerning is something in the spirit which is invisible. So it was a really great sense that we were going to check out with each other. And so often it was we were sensing that same thing. And it was a real journey, a real dance together around that. So, I encourage you to grow those discerning muscles as couples. Because for us, that's the way it's been. Often we've felt we're stumbling in the dark. But to stumble together is a good way to go. So we have enjoyed that in this process. Yeah.
Yeah, so is there any questions? So this is not goodbye. We're here till December 20, we're having a combined farewell for Wilson, who also shared the other night. And no doubt Wilson will have opportunities as well to share parts of his story. But December 20, we'll be having a combined farewell for Wilson and ourselves. But are there any questions that you'd like to ask at this point? It's always hard. We could do what we normally do. You don't want to do that either. Oh, okay. We're doing really well this morning. It's going to be a short service. Yeah. Well, what we're going to do now, so that's all Ruby and I at this stage felt to share, you know, just our guidance story. And so that you kind of get a little bit of what was going on behind the scenes of our decision on Sunday night. Yeah. But what we would like to say is that you guys have been so very good since Sunday night. I mean, on Sunday night, we were so affirmed. And we kind of thought, wow, we can do the next 3 months really well. I mean, there was kindness, there was generosity, there was affirmation, there was faith on Sunday night. And ever since then, you know, you guys have been so gracious and coming up to us and just encouraging us and affirming and so on. Have really, really appreciated the spirit in which you've embraced all of this. And probably, Wilson, you've been feeling the same. Yeah, so so we're really thankful for that. Yeah. Okay. So what we thought we might do now is share communion together. And I've got the elders who are here, not all of them are here this morning, and we've got a few staffies as well coming up to help do this. Yeah. So, you sure you don't want that chat with the person next to you? No, you do? Yeah, I'm getting nods. I'm getting a feeling in my gut that, what did you... Turn to the person next to you and just share whatever you'd like to at this point. Go to it. No, I think it's right. Go to it. Come on. Yeah. Okay, friends. I wonder if I could just lead us. I'll invite people up the front soon to help serve. I'd just like to share a well-known passage out of Corinthians, and it says this. It says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we all have been baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, or those from Mungri Bridge, and those who have settled here. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one.